You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl Pew. See me back 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio. Today is Friday. I'm coming with a lot of excitement because today is the last Friday of the year. The last Friday I will revive your airways here on 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio for the year of 2024. I can't believe it's over. 24 went by so fast, but we had so many memories, so many great moments here on Eco Word. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the listeners, callers, supporters, even down to the people who showed up to Eco Fest this year, this past April. And speaking of that, we got one of the guests who was a panelist on Eco Fest this year, who was a part of Eco Fest this year, who's actually on the line with me right now, which I'm really excited to have him on the last show as we recap 2024 and just what we can expect in 2025, just having a climate conversation. We got Maurice Sampson, who's the Eastern Pennsylvania Director of Clean Water Action Fund here in the city of Philadelphia, live on Eco Word with us right now. Good morning. How you doing, Mr. Sampson?
I am doing very well and really glad to be here on the last Friday of the year.
Yes. I want you to go
Okay.
ahead and introduce yourself and let the people know exactly who they're listening to.
Okay. Well, I am the Eastern Pennsylvania Director for an organization called Clean Water Action. We've been in the city since about 1978. I was on the board of this organization for 26 years. And in 2016, I had a circumstance happen with my company and found myself directing this group, and that's where I have been for the last 8 years. Making this organization look more like Philadelphia,
I love that.
has been my goal.
I
And
love that. And
yeah.
I kind of want you to break it down. You know, some people are still getting used to the climate conversations and the different organizations around the city that actually provide resources and opportunities. So when you introduce yourself as the Eastern Pennsylvania Director for the Clean Water Action Fund, what is that organization all about?
Okay. Well, I like to, I always like to quote one of the councilmen who likes to say that in Philadelphia, among environmental groups, there are many shades of green, because it's very true. There are a number of groups. We all do work slightly differently. Clean Water Action's mission is to develop grassroots environmental leadership to bring together diverse constituencies to work cooperatively for change. We're really focused on health and consumer and environmental and community problems. So we're a grassroots organization. A number of our partners, some are about conservation and wilderness, some are about legislation and legal. We are about working with issues as they impact in the community. Water is just our point of entry, but because all pollution ends up in the water, we find ourselves working on a lot of issues. And because health and water are so closely connected, a lot of our work is around health-based issues. And since I've come here in 2016, as I mentioned, we are a traditional, mostly white suburban organization. When I came to Philly here, I said, we need a group that looks like Philadelphia. And that's been my mission and goal. And this year, my big accomplishment is to say, we have arrived. And that's the kind of things we can talk about this morning.
For sure. And that's actually one of the questions I was going to lead with today as far as the conversation, because I want to recap, just the overall impact of 2024 and with your organization, what kind of accomplishments or wins or, as far as the initiatives, would you be able to tell us today?
Well, I think, coming from our context, there are two things I would point on. One is the election of Mayor Sherrill Parker would be probably the biggest thing to talk about, because in Philadelphia, what the mayor wants is really where things move when it comes to any kind of environmental issue. So that's it. And then we have been working on a project funded by the William Penn Foundation in the Kingsessing area, a community-led greening plan, and that has been just has reached a level of success that has me very excited, because the community had decided what it wants, and we've been working together now to try and implement that plan. So and climate is about that. A community green plan really is a community-based climate plan. A lot of us talk about climate, we think about what's going to happen from Washington, what's going to happen from Harrisburg. Climate happens with where you live, okay? And it's about what you are doing locally to take care of yourself and policies that support that. So we've got some great work going along on those two. So where do you want me to start?
Well, I
I just
definitely
opened the world for you. What do you want me to say?
for sure. I definitely want to back up to you mentioning the mayor, because this year she implemented a lot of new offices around the city to actually push the new green initiative, as far as a greener, safer Philadelphia. And one of the offices that she opened was the Clean and Green office. Well, it's actually called the Clean and Green Initiatives office,
Right.
right? So when it comes down to that office that was open, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that that was a great starting point, or do you think that's another waste of tax dollars?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it, but I will start by just saying it was the right place to start. The number one issue in Philadelphia is violence. The number two issue in every neighborhood is dumping and litter. And so for the mayor to come in with a real strong approach in terms of dealing with violence, to immediately put a program together to address the second biggest issue, that just makes all kinds of sense to do. So my issue is not with that, but it is about how it's being done. Clean and
But she
green is
actually
not.
ran on that campaign. She ran,
Yes.
on the can her campaign trail was pushing a greener Philadelphia. So she had, not saying no choice but to do it, but that was one of the things that she promised that she would do once she gets into office.
I think what is green is the question to be asked here. In fact, we did a whole series of workshops in different neighborhoods around the city over the last 2 years. And that was a question that we put to the community. What does greening mean to you?
That's a
You
good
know?
pushback.
Yes. And in terms of the mayor, greening means, a place that is free of litter and dumping, because that's clearly what we are seeing happening in the program that she has. And it's been a wonderful program in that there are places that we've never seen cleaner. But the problem is, if all you're doing is cleaning and you're not talking about enforcing it, then all you're really doing is setting up neighborhoods to become dumping sites. Right now we have it's an immense problem in the city, and we have a project we're working with the Trash Academy, where we've established and identified what we call legacy dump sites. These are dump sites that have been dumped on for years. And in our mind, and the people that I work with in these communities all tell me, we want the dumping to end. We don't just want it to
What
clean up. We
where
don't
would you
want
say
it to
that
not come back. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, where are the communities that are having these issues as far as the legacy
They
dumping?
are all over from Logan and 6th and Somerset all the way down to Eastwick. We are working with, I mean, Trash Academy has been doing this kind of work for many years. They have identified at the moment about 13. These are self-declared sites that people have been trying to get cleaned. We have a program where we're going to fairs and events. They had a whole map of the neighborhood and let the people come in and put dots on the map of where the dumping is. We're going to, we have established a platform that calls for the end to all dumping by 2028. Now, we did this before the mayor came into office. In fact, we did a year ago in February, we did a big press conference at Girard College on this subject, and had a huge turnout. I mean, challenged all of the candidates to tell us, will you give us a plan? Now, mayor didn't send the plan at that point in time, but she did roll out the program she has right now. But again, that program focuses on cleaning. It doesn't focus on enforcement. And if you don't enforce, all you're doing is encouraging people to dump. Worse, people who are right now paying to get it dumped are going to not pay if they can go someplace where we know you're going to clean up and they're going to dump more. So it's a great start, but without that other piece, dumping is going to go on and it's going to get very expensive, and we're going to find we're going to be spending all of our money cleaning, to the detriment of every other issue in this city. And that's something.
I have two questions that I want to ask you really quickly about that. We got about 10 minutes left, so I want to kind of move the conversation along.
Sure enough. Sure enough.
But one, what does enforcement look like?
Enforcement looks like
Because the city is already overfining people right now for things that, people are not paying for. So I think,
okay.
what does enforcement look like?
Very good point. Enforcing the laws that are on the books. We don't need any new laws because we've been rewriting them and rewriting them, and they've never been enforced. We need them to give out tickets. We need to take vehicles. In fact, my feeling is, if I were running the program, if I caught you dumping, I would call a tow truck operator. I have it towed down. I bring you into court. I'm not going to give you a ticket or a fine. I'm going to give you a warning. But now you're going to have to pay the fee to get your car out of hock. That's not going to cost the city anything. Now, that truck is your livelihood.
We can't
I
give
think we
PPA no more money, though. Come on, Mr. Sampson. We can't
I'm
give
not
PPA
talking
no
about
more
I'm not
money.
talking about PPA. When you have a car accident, how many tow trucks show up that are city tow trucks? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's make it clear that if you dump and we catch you, you're going to have you temporarily lose your vehicle and you're going to have to pay for it and you're going to have to come to court to be seen. I'm going to give you a warning. I'm not going to give you a ticket. But if I catch you the next time, we're going to get more, we're going to get harder. This is a
We would really
small
have to think about that one for sure, because
dumping
that.
is a small business that is illegal. And what we need to do is to penalize it economically.
Well, then let me ask you
People
the second question
understand
that I
that.
wanted to ask you, right? Because
Sure
you were
enough.
you just made my point as far as the reference I wanted to go into, because you said dumping, right now what we see in our city streets is illegal. But in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is also part of Eastern Pennsylvania, it's legal to dump in this incinerator, which is killing people, and causing so many different issues as far as health, as you talked about earlier in our conversation. And it's happening right here in our sister, county, right next door. I'm in Delaware County. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on that, because we are legally dumping in this city called Chester,
Well, that's
Pennsylvania.
true, and we are making a distinction because what's dumped on the street and what can go to an incinerator are actually different kinds of trash, and most and a good part of our trash goes to Chester. We need to come up with a way of dealing with our trash that recovers and recycles it versus burning it. Okay? Which is a whole nother issue because recycling is not even in the mayor's plan. There's no money in the budget. We had a zero waste plan under Mr. Kenney, but there's been no mention at all about recycling. So we're talking about cleaning it up. And I guarantee you a lot of that's going to Chester. So these are related issues, how we deal with trash after we pick it up. We as of the moment, I am not clear that we have any kind of priority that has to do with recycling, which is what the solution looks like. I'm really glad you brought up that connection because they're both issues and they're different. How we manage our trash is one, and where we put it is another. And they're all connected, and all of those questions need to be answered.
For sure. And I want to kind of move the conversation along and give, for those who are just now tuning in, you're listening to Maurice Sampson, who is the Eastern Pennsylvania Director for Clean Water Action Fund. I'm here in the city of Philadelphia, and today's the last episode of Eco Word. So we're recapping 2024, but also talking a little bit about what can we expect in 2025. And I want to ask you, going into 2025, we are headed into a new, what did you say? Presidentialcy, candidacy, situationalcy. I don't even know what to say. It's just something we need to see, something we gonna see about, right? And with 47 coming into office this year, in 2025, what's your thoughts on it? Because I keep bringing this up ever since November. I really feel like the conversation around environmental justice, climate change, climate action was not talked about enough in this election season, this election cycle, and it was a very chaotic, cycle. But yet we are experiencing climate change on a daily basis. Like, we just recently experienced a rain drought here in the city of Philadelphia. We had a heat wave in the summertime here in Philly. So just, your thoughts on where we will be as far as just the conversation, especially since Biden and the Biden-Harris ticket did pass that EPA bill this past, 4 years, but this year as well. Well, it happened
The orange fog is the orange fog is coming, and
this year.
the promise is that everything environmental is going to be backshelved and attempt to cancel and roll back. There is at least $60 million in grants I know about that are going to be coming to the black and brown neighborhoods that I'm sorry, that are promised to black and brown neighborhoods around this subject. It's very possible. We'll never see a dime of that money come here. It's very possible it will all be canceled. The incoming administration has pretty much promised that they're going to turn back and cancel all the work on environmental justice that's been done over the last 10 years. And our concern about environmental issues is stark. They're talking about rolling back the Clean Water Act, which is one of the most successful, and really eliminating regulations, which would bring all the horrors on our head. It's about a defensive battle nationally. Locally, there's a lot we can do because, really, in the end, these are issues on the ground, and it's about what we decide to do on the state level and on the city level. And that's really where the action is going to come from. We're going to hear nothing but horror stories. I am worried about the fracking gas that's going to be coming on trains that are scheduled that would go through Philadelphia. If it that that was a plan in the when 47 was then 45, yes, okay. That plan got put on the shelf. I think that's going to come back. These are very dangerous. If these trains blow up, it will take out a third of the city. In fact, these trains weren't even allowed to happen. They were the transportation department wouldn't even allow them, and they were trying to override that. So there's a lot of things that are going to be coming up that we're going to need to pay attention to. It's going to be a defensive battle for most of the environmentalists, but locally, we got to keep moving. We got to stay focused on taking care of the terrible heat sinks in the cities, which are burning up parts of our town. And there are things we can do locally, and that's where our energy is going to be. But nationally, it's going to be a horror story every week, is what I'm predicting.
And you know, when it comes down to clean water too, you know, I want to make sure we get in a conversation about
Yes,
that.
ma'am.
We did experience a drought as far as rain drought,
Yes.
between October and early November of this year. So what's your thoughts on that? Just the fight for, you know, clean water, the fight for everyone to have enough water supply and things like that.
Well, as long as the rivers are running, we're going to have water in Philadelphia because that's where it comes from. And we're going to see period like we've had this period of drought, but mostly what we're going to be seeing is rain because when
So we
you've
will
got,
see more flooding.
we're going to see a lot more flooding. The anticipation for climate change impact in our area is that it's going to be wetter and it's going to be hotter. And because the air holds more water under those circumstances, just because of where we are. The circumstance where we had the Vine Street Canal up here this last year with that, we can expect more of those kind of flash incidents and flash floods. And this city is, a lot of the city is underwater. You know,
For
I didn't
sure.
really appreciate that, but when it rains, there are basements that flood. And what does that mean? That means black mold, that means health impacts. That's all those issues that we're experiencing in our community are exacerbated
And a
by
lot of
the
our
conditions
residents
of
are
the
dealing
sea.
with during the rain season, a lot of our residents are experiencing issues with their roofs as
That's
well.
right. That's right. You know, I think, you know, the rebuild programs and programs that help us just take care and make our homes more resilient. We got to start talking. You stop talking about climate change and talk about climate resilience, the ability to and to live through what is here and is coming. Climate change is here. People who live in our hoods have been experiencing it for years already. And I'm going to tell you something, they're very sophisticated on this subject. They are very sophisticated. I did a program there and they wanted to know where I had been because they know there are problems. There are neighborhoods in our city that are 20 degrees hotter than others because there are no trees. You know, Haddington, Southwest Philly, South Philly, devoid of trees. And there are 20 degrees difference and people dying a heat stroke. We have all those things coming. So I'm really sweeping it over it quickly. There's a lot we can do about this that we don't need the federal government for, but we're going to have to pay attention and we're going to have to start building ourselves to be more resilient so that we can address it.
For sure, and in coming off the statement of resiliency, you talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, when you first got into the organization as far as the Eastern Pennsylvania Clear Water Action Fund, it was predominantly white. You know, you had the ambition to change it and make it look a little bit like us. And I feel like just the overall impact of coming into the I don't want to even want to call it the industry, but coming into the conversation surrounding climate, surrounding sustainability, surrounding environmental justice, or the injustices that we deal with on a daily basis, it's also still a scene of white people. You know, it's not necessarily having it's not necessarily a balance when it comes to having the conversation, even when it comes to, you know, the funding that's put to where communities that actually are in dire need of, you know, issues, well, money for the issues that they're dealing with. So my question that I want to ask you, is going into 2025, how can more organizations have the ambitions like you, as far as like, we need to be at the table, we need to be a part of these conversations, we need to get to this funding, even on a local level, because you said on a federal level, it's a win-win, but it can also be a loss at the same time. So when it comes down to fighting on a local level, how can we make sure that in a Commonwealth state like Pennsylvania, who has tons of rural areas all around us, how can we make sure we're still getting the funding and the just due here in a city like Philadelphia? Because we went purple this year, we got to make it very clear that Pennsylvania went purple.
There's good news and bad news on that front. The bad news is that a whole lot of money, 40% of all federal grants under the Biden administration had to be spent in Black and brown communities. The bad news is that's getting ready to disappear. So there was, and there is a lot of money in that pipeline already. The question is, are they going to open that pipeline or are they going to cut it off? That's an unknown right now. So that's the bad news. The good news is the William Penn Foundation has set up a whole funding scenario that is going to emphasize Black and brown communities.
Awesome.
Every grant they're giving out is, and that's money literally for local groups and organizations on the ground. We have worked with the Empowered CDC out of Southwest Philly. They've already gotten a good piece of that. That's the group we've been working with for the last 2 years. We have a tight relationship. One, we want to do with other groups and other neighborhoods. We want to act as a green gatekeeper for the Black community. You know your neighborhoods. We have some resources and connections. We want you to be in touch with us. We want to sit down and talk about what do you want? What does green mean for you? And it does include violence, and it doesn't, all those things are there. When you green,
Intersections for
violence
sure.
goes down. So there's a direct connection. But this is about us deciding and understanding that nobody's coming to help us. We got to do this ourselves. We got to sit down and talk about what we have and how we can use that to improve our own lot, you know. And there is money locally, though, and that's the really good news. And the William Penn Foundation is very serious. When you partner, and if you're a white group, you better have a partner in the Black community. Well, I'm serious. I am serious. This is how they've written this. It's a whole new ball game for William Penn Foundation, and people need to go online in groups and organizations. They're putting out an RFP, five RFPs every quarter.
Beautiful.
$300,000 up. So this is serious, and we've got local support. So federal government's going to be hard, but there's a lot to do here.
If you could actually help connect me with someone at William Penn to bring them on to have this conversation, so people who are listening and organizations that are listening can
Glad
actually
to.
know how to get directly to the source, that would be beautiful. I appreciate you even dropping that resource today here on EcoWord. As people are preparing for 2025, that's something that they can get their Googles on, during this holiday season. But Mr. Sampson, we got to go to a break. I appreciate you always for kicking off today's show, rocking with us here on EcoWord. Thank you for the work that you're doing for the city of Philadelphia and just also for the state of Pennsylvania, and looking out for people that look like me and you. Can you tell people how they can find you, stay locked, social media, website, all that good stuff?
All right, it's Clean Water Action. You'll find us on the web at cleanwater.org. Look us up, and if you want to do something in your neighborhood, call me. Let's get together and talk. That's what we're here, that's what we're about. Thank you so much for having me on today.
No doubt. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl PLC. We be back for some more EcoWare right after this quick commercial break. Stay locked. EcoWare, EcoWare, EcoWare.